ॐ तव कथामृतं तप्त जीवनं कविभिरीडितं कल्मषापहं श्रवणमङ्गलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि गृह्णन्ति ते भूरिदा जनाः. वी आर् स्टडियिङ्ग् दि गास्पल् आफ् श्रीरामकृष्ण. वी आर् वेरि फार्चुनेट् बिकास् दिस् इस् दि एसेन्स् आफ् आल् स्क्रिप्चर्स्. There are two questions. I'll be first reading out one by one and we will be discussing it. First, we talk about free will, but a lot of our actions are based on our vasanas and our past inclinations. So, would you say free will is our determination to move towards the four requirements that we talked about: Viveka, Vairagya, Shamadhi, Shat Sampatti, and Mumukshutvam? Our free will is the choice we make towards developing these, or are these actions are also determined? First of all, we have to have clear idea whether there is a free will or there is not a free will. From the ultimate point of view, there is no free will. Once I went to a devotee's house, and at the top of the front door, there was a small plaque on which it is written, "I am the master of my house with the kind permission of my wife." So, does this man have free will? Yes, he has a free will, but his wife had granted him a little bit of that free will. So, God also has given us a small amount of free will. Let me quote from Sri Ramakrishna how he solved this problem, because this is one of the most wonderful questions we come across. Since ages together, among the philosophers, there was this discussion whether man has free will or everything is determined. Some argued that way, some argued this way, and this question was put to Sri Ramakrishna, and he solved it by giving a small example. There was a farmer. He had a field, he had a cow, and the cow was taken to the field, and there was a tree. The cow was tied with a length of rope to the tree, and there was some grass around the tree. And the cow has certain limited freedom. So, if that cow uses that freedom, that means doesn't make nuisance of itself, but grazes on the available thing and pleases the master, then, Sri Ramakrishna continues, he may lengthen the rope of the cow to any extent he wants, or if he wants, he can completely remove the rope and let the cow roam freely in the field. This is the answer. Is man free or is he completely bound? Everything is predetermined. The answer is that God has created us and given us some amount of freedom. So, if we can use that freedom properly by obeying the injunctions of our scriptures, which is the word of God. By the way, let us always keep in mind, God not only created us, like a scientist creates a machine and sells it, and along with that machine, they also give a manual how to operate that machine. Similarly, God, along with creation of us, has given a manual. Who wrote that manual? God. And what is it called? Shastra. And how is it to be understood? Always a manual. There are two ways to do that. One is just to know plain operation. Another is if something goes wrong, how to repair it. The first part is for most of us. The second part is for more advanced people, mechanics or experts. So these experts are called gurus. When we encounter any problem, we have to approach these gurus and they tell us not only how to repair, sometimes out of kindness, they repair it and then give it free to us. But at the same time, they will also encourage us that there are so many secrets, you can get much more rather than what you little you know through your little intellect. And through that, you can gain a lot more. So, with this analogy, each one of us have been given this free will. And a question itself is answering the answers. I will read out so that you will know. Should we say, let us first of all, we talk about free will, but a lot of our actions are based on our vasanas. What are vasanas? The habits, strong habits, actions repeated again and again in the past creates strong samskaras. And how did we come to do those actions? Is it because of free will or not? It is because of free will. We decided to do an action and we carried it out, and sometimes it was very pleasant, so we carried it out again and again. That is what is called samskara or vasanas. A small desire becomes a strong desire when we experience it again and again. That is what we call samskara, vasanas and samskaras. So, what am I talking about? Even our vasanas and samskaras are created by us only by sheer willpower, our own freedom that has been given to us. Here is, we have to know a grand secret. That secret is, if somebody forces to do something, if we have no freedom, but forces us to do something by somebody, then the result goes to those people who force us, not to us. Only when we do it voluntarily, that becomes our samskara. And here is something, a psychological secret. Even the best thing that we like to do ourselves, if it is done forced by somebody, it creates a terrible reaction, repulsion. Eat rasagulla. Otherwise, I will blow your head off. And it creates fear. It creates revulsion. We can never enjoy anything if it is forced. So what are we talking about? That when we do something voluntarily with our own free will and it repeated again, it becomes samskara. So if you understand this one, what is spiritual life? It is nothing but use exactly the same free will, but now certain actions of ours created in the past lives and even in the past in this very life have created certain strong habits which now we realize are binding us. This is what we call samsara. Now we can use the same freedom of the will, do exactly the same actions. We do not even need to change actions. We can do the same actions, but now we connect them to God. That is called sadhana. That is called progress in spiritual life. Nothing changes. We are, for example, attached to our families, friends, family members, our children, husbands, parents, our country, our religion, etc., etc. Same thing. You do it more. become even more attached, but only with one caveat. What is it? They do not belong to us. Everybody belongs to God. It is wrong to think that anybody belongs to us. Even we do not belong to ourselves. Even we are creatures of God, created by God. And if God created us, He owns us. But this ahankara comes. Of course, it is His leela. So, whatever we have been doing, even so-called, I will say, evil actions, it may sound a little bit unsavory, but I will explain to you in a second. Supposing previously you killed somebody and that brought undesirable consequences. Now, after turning towards God, trying to do spiritual sadhana, use the same freedom of will, strengthen the will, do more killing. But now, what do we kill? First of all, as Ramakrishna tells, kill lust, anger, etc. now. But if there are some people who are doing harm to either us or our country, our family, it is our dharma to counter that one. Only sannyasins are exempt from these things, but every householder must do their duty to protect their family, their country, their religion. If we do not do, as we had not been doing as Hindus, and we are what is called sitting ducks for every other fellow to come and kick us. For example, another country is spying upon us, trying to provoke us, trying to declare, create all sorts of problems for us, and it is also taking in other countries. We know what we are talking about. Whose fault it is? It is our fault, because we have not strengthened ourselves. So, the answer to that is that whatever we had been doing so long, which made us, we did it out of our own free will. There was never a time we did anything without any free will. It is impossible. So, free will is functional all the time, but this time we turn it towards God. We love everybody, but with this caveat, everything belongs to God, everybody belongs to God, and this turning from self to the over-self, from our ahankara to God, is called spiritual practice. Naturally, we have to also strengthen our viveka, vairagya, shamadamadhi, shatka sampatti, and all those things. In fact, we have been doing all those things in a negative way, and that's what increased our worldliness, and now same thing will help us to get rid of this worldliness. That is the answer I have to give you. Then I will come to the second question. It is a quotation from the gospel. The wave belongs to the ocean. As long as that covering remains, the Vedantic formula, I am He, that is, man is the supreme Brahman, doesn't rightly apply. The wave is part of the water, but the water is not part of the wave. As long as that covering remains, Maya remains, one should call on God as Mother. Addressing God, a devotee should say, Thou art the Mother and I am thy child. Thou art the Master, I am thy servant. What is the explanation? How do we understand this one? Very, very important for us. Even there are, as we know, there are mainly two sorts of spiritual aspirant, the bhaktas and the jnanis. And the jnanis say, I am Brahman. They are initiated by the Guru into the Mahavakya, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, I am Atma Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma. These are called Mahavakyas. So there are jnanis, meaning they are not truly jnanis. They are only intellectually jnanis. They have Shraddha. They believe that we are Brahman, but that's not a realization. so long as that realization is not there. What is the realization? I am Brahman. Once that realization comes, there is no sadhana, there is no siddhi, and nothing to do. The person is not aware I am in the world. Okay. Until that time, that person is a sadhaka. So, if a person doesn't have that idea, I am Brahman, he must have some other idea, identity. What is that identity? I am the body and the mind. I am a good person. I am a spiritual aspirant. But all these things belong to the body and mind. So, in this particular passage, what is it? When the wave gives up its identity as a wave and identifies as water. Mind you, please listen carefully. The wave should never say, I am the ocean. Because the ocean is also bondage. What should the wave say? The wave should say, I am not the wave, I am water. When it says, I am the water, there is no ocean. Because what is it? What is the common thing between the wave and the ocean? Wave also is water, but bound by small boundaries, limited by small boundaries. What is an ocean? Limited by a bigger boundary, that's all. So, the ocean is also bound, and the fellow who says, I am Brahman, is also bound. One who realizes Brahman should never say, I am Brahman. That is a thought in the mind. When there is no mind, who is there to say, I am Brahman, I am Jiva? A simple example, when you are in deep sleep, do you say, I am a samsari? Or do you say, I am Brahman? You say neither. Why? Because to say, I mean to think, there must be a mind. And when there is no mind, there is no small or big, wave or ocean, Jiva or Brahman, Atma or Paramatma, everything disappears. So, until that direct realization comes and the body-mind identities are completely destroyed, even the memory of them do not arise, at that time the wave doesn't say, I am a wave, neither it says, I am the ocean. The Jivatma doesn't say, I was a Jivatma and I did sadhana, and through God's grace, I became now Paramatma. It doesn't say that. All these words are for teaching us a lesson. So, this is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling, that so long as that covering means this ahankara. Ahankara means identity. What identity? I am the Jivatma. Remains the Vedantic formula, I am he, that is, man is the Supreme Brahman, does not apply at all. The wave is part of the water, but the water is not part of the wave. Only as water, it is, there is no difference between the wave and the ocean. So, as long as Maya remains, Maya means Ahankara, one should call on God as mother. Why not as father? Yes. Sri Ramakrishna's greatest advice for us is, most of us, nearer to mother than to father. Therefore, if we can, this is intimacy, indication of unconditional love, unconditional forgiveness, unconditional giving of everything that belongs to her. These are the qualities, not male or female, not gender quality. So, it is better to call God as mother. If you prefer, you can also call him as father, Vishnu, Shiva, or Narayana, whatever you want. Until this ahankara is there, even the slightest bit, one should address, mother, I am thy child. What is understanding? Mother, the child doesn't know how to protect itself. It only knows that there is someone and I have nothing to fear. even this thinking doesn't arise. That absolute thoughtless, what you call, identity with the mother, complete natural reliance without any thought, that is the nature of the child. If we can rely upon God, and this state is called complete surrender, even to think that I have surrendered is also part of the sadhana, not complete surrender. Having surrendered, karpanye, like a child, totally depending upon its mother, when this bhava is maintained, and mother in the right time, at the right time, she will do everything in the right way, and that is the way to move forward towards God. I hope with this many points are clear. And why I took time, if you carefully heard and understood, you have to think about it. In future, many such doubts will never come in our minds. That is why I have taken so much of time. Okay, now we are going to go to our class, Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. We are discussing the fifth commandment of the Sri Ramakrishna. What is it? That Sri Ramakrishna says that we should live like a maid servant in a rich man's house. Most marvelous analogy Sri Ramakrishna gives. By the way, I do not remember whether I have told you, perhaps not in this class, that India had produced marvelous poets. And of these poets, there was one poet who stands head and shoulders above everybody else. In fact, he is the world's greatest poet. He is called Kalidasa. And why he was called Kalidasa? Perhaps most of you know. He was born as an absolute idiot. But by the grace of the mother Kali, in a twinkling of an eye, he became the world's greatest poet. Mother can make a greatest poet into the greatest idiot, and a greatest idiot into the greatest person, greatest scientist, greatest musician, greatest sculptor, poet, musician, cook, anything you choose to name it. Everything is the grace of God, the glory of God. That's what we had been discussing in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, called Vibhuti Yoga. Everything is the glory of God. In fact, there is no everybody. It is only God who is manifesting in the form of the body, in the form of the mind, and he is, as it were, sporting with himself, just as we create our dreams. From the waking state, when we enter into the dream state, our entire dream world, all objects, including our own recreation as the dream body of ourselves and as a witness of the entire scene. So we divide ourselves into three: as the creator and witness, as the created, as me, and everything else. Everything is the manifestation of God. But while dreaming, we do not understand it. But upon waking up, we know that we were other people, we were the living things, we were the non-living things, and at the same time, we were absolutely unattached sakshi, witnessing and remembering whatever sports we have done in that dream state. So what is the Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna telling to us? Live like a maid servant. So the maid servant, and in a rich man's house. Who is this rich man? This entire world is the sampat, is the treasury of Bhagavan. Just as our entire dream world is our sampatti, our treasure, so also this entire creation is the treasure of Bhagavan, who is the creator. And we are all people working there. So this is one analogy. There are also other analogies are there. Like that we are the, God is the director. He is the script writer, and he is the stage. He is the actors and actresses, and he is the script writer, he is the director, he is acting in various roles, and he is witnessing himself all the roles. Everything is he. That's why God has got that beautiful name, Ranganatha, the master of the stage. This whole world is a stage. So coming back, I was talking about that everything is the gift of God. And Kalidasa was one of the greatest gifts of God. And this Kalidasa was famous for his similes. A simile in Sanskrit language is called upama, comparisons, not upma, South Indian upma, no, upama, separate words, upa and ma. So there were great poets, upama kalidasasya bharavehe arthagauravam, dandinaha padalalithyam, maghe santi trayogunaha. So there were four poets. All of them were, somebody was famous for the depth of his meaning, somebody was famous for using the most simplest but mellifluous words, and somebody is famous for these analogies. Of them, Kalidasa is the most famous for his analogies. Now we see that Sri Ramakrishna is probably tops even Kalidasa in his imagery. And this is one such example. Live like a maid servant. Who is a maid servant? She doesn't own anything. But she is asked to work. She is paid the wages. So all of us, everybody in this world is like that maid servants, whoever God has created, the trees, the plants, the insects, the stars, the galaxies, men, women, animals, birds, rivers, mountains, everything is created by God, owned by God, and therefore we have to realize that I am a creature of God and I have been given this marvelous opportunity where to work in the workshop called God. This world is God's creation. That is why Swami Vivekananda categorically says, this world is a hell so long as we are in ignorance. The moment we have knowledge that this is nothing but manifestation of God, the whole world becomes a leela, Brahma leela, Narayana leela. The whole world becomes a mart of joy, because who is my enemy? God. Who is my friend? God. Who is tormenting me? God. Who is giving me happiness? God. Everything is God and God and God, nothing but God. So this beautiful analogy, this says a maid servant is also has a home. Where is her home? Allide nammane illi bande summane. My house is there. Where? Mano chalo nija niketane. Oh mind, let us go back to our own home. Where is our home? God. God is our father, our mother. We have come for some work from our father and mother, and we have forgotten the fact, like Narada forgot to fetch water to Bhagavan Krishna, and thought he had children, thought he had become a rich man, thought he was going to die, all like a dream, but everything had taken place. Entire lifetime has passed in just twinkling of a second, and gently he hears the voice of Krishna, Narada, why are you delaying? I am thirsty, please bring water. So Narada went to fetch water and stood knee deep in the river, and bent down to fill the tumbler with water. And by that time, he heard the voices. He just filled up the water. Within the twinkling of a second, entire lifetime passed. I would say not lifetime, but our entire history from the beginning of life in this creation until the end, until we get, it is all nothing but time is nothing but pure illusion. That's why time is relative. That is the greatest truth discovered by Einstein. Okay. Anyway, I should not fly into all these fancies. So, coming back. M. Humbly. How ought we to live in the world? Do all your duties, but keep your mind on God. Live with all, with wife and children, father and mother, and serve them. Treat them as if they were very dear to you, but know in your heart of hearts that they do not belong to you. So, treat them means what? Not make believe, not pretending, but treat them because God has given them to you, saying, my child, you asked me that how I can serve you, and I am giving these people to you. You serve me by taking care of these people. But don't forget, they belong to me, they do not belong to you. There's a beautiful incident in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. So, once a female cat had somehow taken shelter in the very room of Sri Ramakrishna. I don't know how much punya that cat had done in its previous lives to take shelter at the feet of Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna had not the heart, but as cat, whatever cats do, this female cat had done, and within a few months, there was a brood of kittens all running hither and thither and not fearing moksha by the feet of Sri Ramakrishna. So he got worried. One day he called one lady, very close devotee lady, and her name was, I just forgot her name. It will come later on. I will let you know. She said, look, can you do something for me? She said, of course I will do, but I will not do it freely. Who is ever going to do anything freely? If I do something, you have to give me something back. So what do you want? I want bhakti, I want viveka, I want vairagya, and all those things I want. All right, I will give it to you, but what is it you want me to do? You take care of these cats. It has taken shelter in me. Take them home. See that they are not harmed. And if anybody wants these kittens, you can give them away. You look after them for me because they belong to me. They have taken shelter in me. And of course, that lady gladly has taken the cats. And for that small service, what did she get? Bhakti, Viveka, Vairagya, ultimately leading to Mukti. Another incident comes to my mind. Once Ramakrishna was at Kamarpukur, and there was a flood, and there were so many tanks there, and the tanks were overflowing with water, completely erasing the distinction between the land and the tanks. And there was a big fish. In Bengali, they call it magur mach, huge. In English, it is called catfish. So somehow, one huge fish happened to be near Sri Ramakrishna. I don't know what overcame it. It started going round and round the feet of Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna immediately, he could not kill. So by pushing it by his feet, etc., he just guided it to the tank and pushed it inside, and it disappeared. Now, Sri Ramakrishna was a rasika. Rasika means very joyful person. So he came home, and many villagers were catching fish, and Hriday was also, his nephew was also trying to catch. And then when Hriday came home, disappointed perhaps, I don't know, we don't know what is the incident, but Sri Ramakrishna started graphically narrating what is called blow by blow. You know, Hriday, what a huge catfish, magur mach. Mama, where is it? Oh, you see, it started going round and round me. Very plump and big fish. But what happened? Where is it? Oh, I pushed it into the Haldarpukur tank. Oh, Mama, Uncle, what have you done? We were hoping that some fish will come, we can catch. My God, what did you do? That was Sri Ramakrishna's nature. Consciously, he could not harm any creature in this world. So there is no wonder the cat got escaped anyway. These incidents sometimes keep coming to our mind. It's a meditation on Sri Ramakrishna for me and for you also, whether you like it or not. Coming back, this whole world is God's house, and he is the richest man in this whole world, and we are all employed as maid servants. What for? We should get our wages. And how do we get promotions or increments? If we can do our duties properly, nicely, please the owner, then he can increase by any amount that he or she wishes. But if he wants, he will give us also complete freedom, like the farmer gives freedom to the cow. So here the maid servant we are talking about. What is the maid servant? She is a poor creature. We are what is called, we have poor knowledge, poor discrimination, poor mind control. But this world is given to us to work in this huge house called God's house. Then if we do properly, then wages will be given. What are the wages? The wages will be bhakti, jnana, viveka, vairagya, shamasamadhi shatka sampatti, mumukshutvam, and all the required spiritual qualities. And then if we work hard, then God will give us pension. Then we can go home. Where is our home? In God. And then what is our pension? That Brahmananda, for how long? For eternity, we will be living with God. This is a Bhakta's way of description. We don't want to say we will become one with Brahman, but that's what really happens. We will enjoy Brahma. A Brahma Jnani becomes Brahman himself. Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati. And he enjoys all the Ananda, Brahmananda, along with Brahman when he becomes one. So we go to that Brahman, Brahmaloka, not the Brahmaloka we know about it, but Brahmananda Loka, and go on enjoying for eternity. That is our wages. This is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling, and then he is telling further. This maid servant, she brings up her master's children as if they were her own. So we also should deal. We are working everywhere, not our family members also. First of all, our house belongs to God. Everybody in the house belongs to God. Our mother, father, and children, husband, wife, friends, enemies, everyone belong to only to God. With this attitude, we have to do what? Service. Not work, but service. This is called Karma Yoga. When we have that knowledge, our work becomes Karma Yoga, leading gradually us to God. And then Sri Ramakrishna says, she even speaks of them as my Rama or my Hari. What does it mean? That so long as she is working, she says, this is God's child. This is my child. Because I belong to God. Everybody belongs to God. This is my Rama, my Hari, my God's children. And there is a beautiful incident. How this can be really practiced? I am going to narrate it. Even if you have read about it, even if you have 100,000 times thought about it, still it is a good thing for us. This is devotee's work. Bodhayantaha parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. What do the devotees do naturally, without any force from outside? Instinctively, when they are alone, they think of God, they pray to God, they sing of God, they taste of God, they hear of God, they smell of God, they touch of God. You may question, what is this Swami talking about? Okay, we can sing of God, we can think of God, but how can we taste God? Well, when we offer something to God, what does it become? Prasada. And when we eat, whom are we tasting? It is God. When we enter into our shrine room, a beautiful fragrance comes out, either of incense or something else, and that is called smelling of God. Means what? just as prasada reminds us of God, so this smell, incense smell or good smell reminds us of God. And that's why a single detail, very important detail. When we are talking about using a particular smell, incense, here is a suggestion. You use for the shrine room one particular type of incense which you will never use in any other room. Or any scent you want to spray, you just spray only in that room and not anywhere else. Why? Supposing you use the same spray in the puja room as well as in the toilet. And when you smell that one, probably the thought of toilet also, usually there is a possibility it can creep into our mind. But if this particular smell is associated only with the shrine room, as soon as we smell, unconsciously we remember only God. And so many incidents are running through my mind. Say, supposing a young man loves a young woman, and that woman always uses a particular scent. And one day the young man is going somewhere, and suddenly somebody else who is using the same scent is passing by, and this man smells. What do you think where do you think his thoughts will be? Upon his beloved. This is the human mind unconsciously works. This is called smelling God, means anything that associates our mind with God, that is the experience. So hear about God, immediately it brings our thoughts to God. Tasting God means prasada. Touching God means what? You go there and probably there is a sacred book or sacred paduka of something belonging to our guru, and we touch it every day. Supposing your guru has given you a japamala, and whenever you do japamala, two things you have to do it. First of all, just you wash your hands very cleanly, then only touch that japamala. And first you touch it to your forehead. Why? Because that has come into association with your guru's sacred hands. If there is a paduka or a slipper belonging or a cloth belonging to the guru, it is even better you touch it with your forehead, as if this reminds you are touching him directly. So this is called coming in touch. Secondly, this japamala, there are certain rules. It should never fall below the navel. That's why many Hare Krishna people sell japamala bags. And if you put it round your neck, you will see it at best, it will come up to your chest. And the japamala lies there. It is a big bag. So without feeling cramped, you can do japam there and keep it very carefully. So anything belonging to the shrine room, anything that reminds us of God, that is called touching God. I told you one story. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through a village, somebody reminded that this is the clay which is used on khol, a percussion instrument. Immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, oh, this clay is used on khol. Khol is used in group singing. Singing is of the name of Krishna, and immediately he went into samadhi. This is a peculiar characteristic of our mind, that we always do progress with associations, everything association. My mother's voice, even now, I can recognize it. My mother's smell, every animal recognizes its mother's smell. That is how babies and mothers, they never become separated. So this is called touching God. Touching God means touching God's name, reminding God's name. So here, my Rama, my Hari. There is a beautiful story. there was a Brahmo woman. Very interesting story, because Brahmo people, usually they are supposed to think of Nirakara Brahma, formless aspect of God. But this Brahmo lady had two qualities. First of all, she was the greatest devotee of Balagopala, child Gopala. Second, she was a great devotee of Sri Ramakrishna. So, she was, this lady was bringing up her niece. Probably the niece had lost its mother or whatever it is. This lady became surrogate mother. But with all her heart, she loved the baby, like Prajapati was bringing up Siddhartha, Gautama. So, like that, this lady was bringing up, but she was a great devotee of Balagopala. Now she wants to meditate, she wants to think of Gopala, she wants to offer everything to Gopala, but she was forced to look upon, in a way forced. She had this dilemma, how to think of Gopala, how to also at the same time take care of this nephew. So she came to Sri Ramakrishna, who was a master of all spiritual realm. Immediately he understood her dilemma and said, where is such a thing? It is the easiest thing. In fact, you are very fortunate. God had given you this marvelous physical toy. From now onwards, you think of this nephew, not this boy, not as your nephew. Forget about that. But this is your Balagopala. Your Krishna came to you in this form. He voluntarily offered himself in this form so that you can progress thinking of him in spiritual life. Whatever you do with him, bathing, caressing, or feeding, or swinging the swing, whatever you do, you just think it is, there is no nephew, it is nothing but Gopala. And she did it. Within few months, she was blessed with many visions of Balagopala, like Gopalerma was blessed with the visions of Balagopala. There is another story. When the time comes, we will discuss. But the most important point I wanted to share with you is, really speaking, who was this nephew? Just now we were discussing, the whole world is God's family. Everybody belongs to God. Only in our ignorance we think, I am separate and everybody is separate, and these are people nearer to me, dearer to me, other people are farther to me. In a family, joint family, everybody belongs to everybody. In a similar way, in this whole world, there is a saying, Mata me Parvati Devi, Pita Devo Maheshwaraha, Bandhavaha Shiva Bhaktascha, Swadesho Bhuvanatrayam. All the Bhaktas, Shiva Bhaktas are my Bhaktas. Why? Because my mother is Parvati and my father is Shiva. The entire universe is their children. Therefore, Bandhavaha Shiva Bhaktascha, every Shiva Bhakta means every devotee of God, not Shiva Bhakta, but Vishnu Bhakta, Jesus Bhakta, Buddha Bhakta, any Bhakta is Bhakta of God. What about non-Bhakta? He is also a Bhakta of God only. Everyone is a Bhakta of God only. So, they are all my relatives because we belong to the same joint family. And then what about Bhuvanatrayam, three worlds? What are the three worlds? Swarga, Naraka and is Bhumata, Bhuloka. Naraka belongs to whom? To the devil or to God? It is only God. Who are the people in the Naraka? Their children, Shishus. Who are in the Swargaloka? They are a little bit grown up people. And who are in this Bhuloka? Who are trying to become, go to either to Swarga or Naraka. But when we grow, our understanding grows, God gives us Buddhi, and then we all go back only to God. In fact, I am telling you something very deep. Nobody is going anywhere. Nobody is going neither to Naraka not to Swarga. Everybody is traveling only towards God. Every millisecond we are inching forward, or centimetering or millimetering forward towards God. Why? Because we are all sitting or standing on the escalator called our reunion escalator with God. Then what about Naraka? Oh, it is a little bit children are playing on that escalator. Some will go to the left, some will go to the right, some are standing, but some are sitting, some are even lying down and sleeping, and everybody is being carried forward by God's motion. So Naraka is also a playground of God. Swarga is also an equally playground of God. It is difficult for us to understand. And this truth was given to us by every sage, but especially by Swami Brahmanandaji, who says that you may not understand me, you may not believe me now, but I am telling you the truth. Everybody is advancing towards God. Even a murderer is also traveling towards God only. He did not elaborate, but I dare to elaborate a little bit. If a murderer, who is a murderer, who kills somebody, is a murderer. And why that fellow was killed? If you believe in Karma Siddhanta, the law of karma, then nobody can be killed unless he is deserved. Nobody can go become better unless he deserves it. This is the strict, inviolable law of karma. So if somebody killed, then did this person die because that somebody killed, or this person would have died with the hand of somebody or the other? So I'm giving you a funny example. Please do not mind. This is how we will continue our Gita class. So supposing as a murderer, he is running after somebody, and that somebody is running away, and he wants to hide, and he saw a deep forest, and he enters into that forest and disappears. So the murderer has searched here and there, could not get, and frustrated, he will turn back. But this fellow, for a temporary, for a millisecond thinks, oh God, thank God, I have been saved. Suddenly from behind the bush, a huge tiger jumps and catches hold of him. And if it is a devotee tiger, it will also do Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi and take nicely. So you have to understand this truth. Anything that happens to any one of us is because of our Purva Janma Karma Phala. So even a murderer, he is also traveling because he mistakenly thinks that I will be a happy person if I can kill this person. But if he also, first of all, nobody will be left behind in course of time, he will also progress in life. But the important point is, if that person kills this another person because it is his duty to do it, because this fellow is in what is called spy, or it is enemy, or a terrorist trying to kill other people, and I am given the opportunity to serve my fellow people, to save them from, then that very act will take him forward. So many beautiful things are there, but I will end up, as some of you love beautiful stories, I just mentioned, if it is a devotee tiger. I might have told you, I don't remember, but these are enjoyable things any number of times. There was a lifelong atheist, and once he happened to travel in a lonely forest area, and then suddenly he came across a place which is thickly laid, and suddenly a hungry tiger happened to see him and started running after him, and fell him down and about to tear him up. Now the atheist knew he was going to die. So he thought, maybe this is the time to test whether God exists. So he looked up and said, "Is there anyone up there?" And immediately response came, "Yes, I am God, I am here, and how can I help you today?" American accent. "How can I serve you today? How can we serve you today?" And this fellow thought, so God exists. But if I tell, "Save me from this tiger," what will other people think of me? That this fellow, because he is in danger, he changed colors, whole life he was preaching, and he was a coward, and he changed his ideas because of pure selfishness. No, no, no. I don't want to think of people to think of me like that. So he turned towards God. He thought he was very clever. Said, "God, I do not want anything from you. I am quite happy. But you know, this tiger, why don't you make it your devotee?" God said, "Tathastu, let it be so." And the moment it said, this tiger, which was about to tear him up with its paws, tears started streaming down, tears of joy and gratefulness, and it folded its paws. And Brahmarpanam Brahmavihi Brahmagnav uttered the mantra and finished the fellow off. So, do not try to be too clever, that if God comes, accept it gratefully. So, what did we discuss today? This simple saying of Sri Ramakrishna has a tremendous meaning if we only meditate upon it. But what is the essence? The whole world is a family belonging to God, and He is the head of the family. We are all His children. It's a big, big giant family. Every country joins it, every galaxy joins it, and we should consider that everyone in this living, non-living belong only to God, to our Father. Nothing belongs to me. I also belong to God only. So let me lovingly serve everybody that I come across, father, mother, anybody, everybody. But at the same time, I should never feel that neither they are mine or I am theirs, or they also belong to God. I also belong to God. It is a joyous playground. Several in the joint family, as several children born of different grown-ups, married people, all join together and play happily. They eat together. Let us also consider everything. Next point is, this joint family is given to us to learn our lessons, because sometimes we get happiness, sometimes we get unhappiness. Both are aids, not per se, not by themselves, but something is pushing us towards God, something is pulling us towards God. Every action in this life is giving sukha dukha, depending upon what we do, how we do. Then sukha is pulling us towards God, more sukha, and dukkha is pushing us towards sukha, and little sukha is pulling us towards more sukha. More sukha is pulling us even the all sukha, and for all time, until we reach that source of Ananda Sagara, our journey will not come to an end. This world is created by our own actions for our own growth, and if we are spiritual sadhakas, then let us take this opportunity and take every incident, every person as an help, as an aid for our spiritual growth. And everybody is looked after by God only. Nobody belongs to us. Everybody belongs to God. So it is God's responsibility to take care of everybody. Let us realize this truth. Offer ourselves willingly into the hands of God and let Him hold us like the kitten and slowly take us to God. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ram Krishna.